Back at the Pleasant Street Tea Company, this is MSO News. I almost said MSO News Sports, which I could say. I'm Rick Moore, along with with Heather Atwood. And I just want to remind everybody that you can type in MSONewsSports.com. You can type in MSONews.com, or you can type in MSOSports.com, or you can type in MSONewsSports.com. All of those, and you get to us. Anyway, that's another story. Heather, it's been a while. What's cooking?
Okay, let's see. I was last, I think, when we spoke in Illinois. So I've been working on an Illinois story, but it hasn't dropped yet for the MidPod. But we have some interesting stories on the MidPod, and we have a really beautiful story coming up on the other Cape. And we have our list.
Okay.
So that's what we got.
All right, well, we're rolling into Memorial Day weekend, and I guess that will bring us to the other Cape. You have the story about that?
Yes, we have a really beautiful story on the other Cape. And if you have never looked at the other Cape, this is a reason to look at it. It was created by a woman who lives in Rockport. Her name is T. Lynn Wernow, T-H-I, word, L-I-N-H, and her last name is Wernow, W-E-R-N-A-U. And she has been working on, for a bunch of years, a project called You Are Beautiful. And she...
Thank you very much. I've been searching for that comment my whole life.
Well, you are, Rick, and they are too, okay? What she does is she goes around and she photographs wounded veterans. And she's created a book of them, and she has a website, and she's really continuing this project, and it is a really beautiful project, I have to say. So we asked her for the other Cape to come up with a sort of photo essay for Memorial Day. And she has visited three families in Gloucester. Each family has lost a family member, loved one, in a war, three different wars. And she sits down with each of the families. She's in their houses, and she interviews them and, you know, talks about the loss. And it's just, they're really beautiful stories. And then she photographs the families and their homes. And it's a really beautiful photo essay.
That I look forward to reading, because I think so much emotion is involved in a tragedy when you lose someone, especially a family member. But it seems to me, in my advanced age here, that the longer you get away from that, while the scar never heals, the pain never goes away, there are good things eventually that come from that. And I know that I don't mean that to sound insensitive, but there are all kinds of ancillary stories that go with that. So I'm guessing there's probably some really emotional stuff in there.
Yes, it is emotional. And I think you're right. You really touched on something, because... these young sisters, not young, I'm sorry, they're older. They lost their family member a long time ago, and they're really anxious for this story to come out because they're still telling that story. And I think that's what's really important, is you feel like you do want to keep telling this story, and you want other people to hear it, and that's part of when nice things happen, if you want to use that word, is when you touch other people with the story.
Yeah, and you know, the cliche is, you know, what good will come from this, but inevitably there seems to be something, but to have to go through stuff like that, I think we can all identify with it is the thing, and to have someone tell a story is so important. So that's on theothercape.com?
Yep, theothercape.com, you can just go search that, and the story will drop tonight, so it'll be there for the whole Memorial Day weekend, yeah.
So. All right, so what about the two moms in the MidPod?
The two moms, we've been home for a little bit. We had been in Illinois, and that was a cold, rainy trip. The weather was miserable, but it was a really interesting trip. We interviewed this amazing candidate, I have to say, Democratic candidate. The district is very Republican and has been Republican for a long time, and it's 85% white. This young woman is an African-American woman. There were seven candidates running in the Democratic primary. And can I just underline, this is a super Republican district, 85% white. She won that Democratic primary with 57% of the vote. Not only that, this is a midterm primary, okay? Traditionally, about 8,000 people vote in a midterm primary in this district. 48,000 people voted in that. So, yeah, exactly. So there's some big numbers, and there's definitely something happening there. She was just an amazing person to interview, because everyone talks about how she lights up a room when she walks in, and she does. She has this smile. She has this eloquence. She can connect to people. She is a nurse, and she has a graduate degree in nursing and public health. So she worked on the Affordable Care Act. She worked in Washington on the Affordable Care Act, and so she has a lot of healthcare experience. So she's the candidate who knows about healthcare. Yeah.
I read a quote online recently from Dwight D. Eisenhower, and I can only paraphrase it. I can't remember it exactly. But the main gist of it was that leadership, the most important quality of leadership is integrity. And that sort of like just slapped me in the face. I've been reading the book, The Seven Habits of Effective People or something like that. And the most important quality there is character. And I don't think you can separate them in terms of what it means in terms of leadership and so on. And I know that you have traveled across the country now and you've talked with people of integrity and you've talked with people of character, primarily Democrats. But you mentioned in our pregame warm-up here that you actually have, you're very impressed by a Republican candidate.
Yes, very impressed. And when we meet a Republican candidate who we like, we shout out to that person. So we've done it before. And yes, in California, there is a wonderful guy running in the 48th Congressional District. It's Dana Rohrabacher's seat. And he is a Republican running against Dana Rohrabacher. And I've written a blog about him on the MidPod website, if anyone's interested. His name is Paul Martin. And I call him the Alan Alda of Republicans. Now just imagine this, okay? He's married with 5 children, ages 16, 17, 18, 19, and 22. Okay? Let's just start there, right? This guy's saintly.
Obviously a Catholic. The Pope says you got to do it, right?
He's okay. Very Catholic, actually. He's founded a foundation called the Christian Muslim Alliance.
He's a Republican.
Yeah, he's a Republican. He's the Alan Alda of Republicans. Mm-hmm. And it's an organization that is trying to bring the two largest religions in the world together. Okay. He has worked with at-risk kids. He's done a lot in the Christian community there in California. But his real laser focus is on Dana Rohrabacher's connections to Putin. And he attended something called PutinCon, which was a live-streamed conference in an undisclosed location that was addressing Putin's threat to not just this country but the world. And it had to be an undisclosed location because there were so many people at this conference, like Garry Kasparov and Bill Browder, who are on Putin's hit list. And these are people who cannot drink water unless it's been tested because they are anticipating that Putin is trying to exterminate them, and he does.
And is Rohrabacher a Republican as well?
Oh, my God. He's not just a Republican. Moscow has identified him as their asset. He loves Putin. Okay. And they call him Dana Rohrabacher because he has this weird, weird affection for Russia and Putin. So this guy, this candidate, Paul Martin, is trying to just shout this out to that district. Listen, this guy is not just dangerous. He's treasonous almost.
Good heavens.
You know, so, yeah. But he's a great candidate. Great
well,
cook.
That bears watching. Oh, my goodness.
That was my other point. He's a great cook. So we have a Paul Martin recipe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's the connection with Heather Atwood.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now, speaking of the food connection...
Yeah, so I have our list of America's top 50 foods here. We occasionally get to this, and we're working down. I thought I would give everybody a rundown from where we've been. Okay, right? So starting at 50, I'm not going to name the numbers. I'm just going to list the foods, right? But starting at 50, we have key lime pie, tater tots, sourdough bread, Cobb salad, pot roast, Twinkies, beef jerky, fajitas, banana splits. I decided, by the way, I really do like banana splits. Mm-hmm. Cornbread. Gorp. If anyone doesn't remember what Gorp is, Rick didn't. It's like trail mix.
I knew that.
Jambalaya. It's basically gumbo in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Biscuits and gravy. Smithfield ham. And that's where we stand. That's 37.
There are about 4 on that list that I can get into.
Right? I know,
yeah.
Which is stunning for you.
That's, well, we'll start with Twinkies.
Yeah, I would start with Twinkies with you. Yeah, what would be next, do you think?
Next? Let me see.
Tater tots.
Well, ham also. I don't know if I've had that specific ham, but definitely ham. Although, we're giving up ham because of my wife's affinity to pigs and the intelligence of pigs.
That's smart. So that's smart. Yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so where are we now?
Okay, so we're at 36 and 35,
okay.
All right?
Yep.
And 36 is chicken fried steak. Now, I know you know what that is because you come from the place where chicken fried steak originated,
Texas?
Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never had chicken fried steak. So explain it.
Do you eat fried chicken?
Yes.
You like fried chicken?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Love fried chicken.
Of course. Well, so chicken fried steak, there is like anything. There is actually an interesting history there. They believe it started in La Mesa, Texas, okay? And what happened in the 1890s in Texas was a lot of German people immigrated there. A lot of German people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's schnitzel
with
steak.
With steak.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Well, now the Italians call it Modiga steak. Am I
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing as Modiga.
I've had that.
Yeah, right.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, there you go.
Okay.
The only difference is the Texas version they serve it with white gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Modiga, we don't do Modiga with gravy, right?
No.
I've never seen it with gravy.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's kind of interesting that the Modiga is the same thing. But that's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, but obviously different parts of the world have come up with that same taste or that same recipe or whatever.
Cooking style. Okay, so that's 36.
Yep.
And then 35 is wild Alaskan salmon. Silence on Rick Moore. He's thinking. Yeah.
Okay, that's an oily fish, salmon.
You would call it oily.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
However,
I wouldn't call it oily.
The missus loves salmon, so
this
is a wild Alaskan. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Everybody loves salmon. I mean, I love salmon, but I will only eat wild Alaskan salmon. I won't eat farm salmon. So I frankly haven't had salmon in a long time because it's really hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my story about Alaskan salmon, and it brings us back to Gloucester.
Okay.
Angela, our Angela, right,
Sanfilippo, mm-hmm.
She once told me that, I would say it was in the 70s, they were, these fishermen all around the country talk to each other, right? And the fishermen in Alaska said, watch out, because our salmon is about to be the biggest thing you've ever known. And she couldn't believe it because she'd be like, you're in Alaska. You know, we can't, or, you know, in the Northwest. Mm-hmm. We don't get your salmon. You know, like, people here eat cod and haddock.
Right.
And that person was so right because the USDA put a picture of a salmon. This is one of the many things they did, on the food pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the many things they did. And there was actually a very, very structured campaign to promote Alaskan salmon.
Now, you probably know the benefits of salmon in terms of nutrition.
Oh yeah, it's huge. It's huge, but only the wild stuff, not the farm. The farm is bad. I mean, you may as well be just like drinking up some corn syrup. I mean, I'm really opposed to the farm salmon.
Okay, when we get finished with this, I'm going to make a top 10 out of that top 50 of mine. Okay.
Okay.
And salmon's not going to. And I never understood the English language why salmon is not pronounced salmon. I don't get that. I don't understand.
That's true. Maybe it's an indigenous word.
Maybe.
Yeah. Huh. That's true.
Okay. Very good. Anything else you want to mention about the other Cape or the Mid-Pod?
Let's see. So the Mid-Pod right now, we have the story that's dropped right now is on this Congressional District 48 in California.
Okay.
And it's their primary is on June 5th. And it's a crazy, crazy, crazy story.
Okay.
Yeah. It's coming up. And it's super hot because California has a top two primary, so the top two receivers of votes go to the general ballot, and it could be two Republicans, or it could be two Democrats.
Have you seen any of this on the national news about California 48?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk, because this Dana Rohrabacher is such a controversial guy, for one, and this situation, because the Democrats should be easily taking the seat, because he is so controversial, and he just came out yesterday with this very controversial statement saying that he does not believe realtors should have to sell houses to gay people. This is a congressman, a U.S. congressman. Okay.
Well, we'll keep our eye on that. That is Heather Atwood, one of the two moms of the Mid-Pod, and the other Cape as well, with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.